Welcome, everyone, to another edition of Police for Reform, the podcast for Law Enforcement Action Partnership. I'm Russ Belville, and joining us today, we have Jason Thomas. He's a former detention officer and deputy marshal in Denver, Colorado. Prowers County, actually, is where you served, and thanks for joining us today.
You bet, Russ. Thanks for having me on.
I'm glad to have you here because you're someone who's in Colorado in the middle of the biggest, until California comes online, the biggest marijuana market we've got. And there's a story that happened recently in my neck of the woods up here in the Pacific Northwest that's really shaken me. And it has to do with the kidnapping and murder of a dispensary employee, a man named Cameron Smith, a killer named Donovan Culps. He's actually confessed to the killing, abducted him at gunpoint, shot him, stole his car, dumped his body. Just a terrible, terrible case. And I just wanted to talk about security and safety, because this is something that's of concern to us in this, especially as so many of the, so much of the cannabis industry still deals with a lot of cash only transactions. Can you give us your thoughts about this particular case and what we could do as consumers and employees to help keep ourselves safer?
Well, the case in Washington, it's just a tragedy what happened. You know, the cannabis industry, as you mentioned, deals in primarily cash. Cannabis itself is a very high dollar value item, and therefore having those two together creates, a more potential issues for the business owner with higher security risks. Now, with this case in Washington, it appears that the perpetrator was not served in the dispensary for lack of paperwork. He got angry, more than angry, decided to take action as he did. Really looking at that case, I really see that as more of public safety issue. He really could have gone into a bar, not been served, come back, and shot the place up. With that being said, though, within the cannabis industry, security is paramount. It's a public safety issue. It's an issue for your employees, for your business, for the owners, and so security is taken very seriously. With the proliferation of more states coming online, each state generally mirrors all the others in respects to security and what's required. Because it's highly regulated and highly sought after commodity, the security regulations are very stringent and stout, but there's always room for improvement on those.
Yeah, it's, we have the cameras in the dispensaries themselves. I mean, most of the states, the laws I've looked at, they actually have pretty stringent security requirements as to, they get down to how many pixels the video has to have. It has to be 24-hour accessible in some places. But as consumers, as the people that are going, I guess this wouldn't just apply to dispensaries, but, in a world where we live with the threat of terrorism, just going out in public, you have to worry about mass shooters or bombers or anything like that. What are some tips you can give the general public when they're just out and about to keep an eye out and to be able to keep themselves safe?
Well, keep your eyes open. Keep your head up. Be aware of your surroundings would probably be the first. Within the regulated marijuana industry, in Colorado, and I believe in every other state, any employee that works within the industry has to get an occupational badge that they're vetted through their state criminal justice system to check their criminal background and other items that may preclude them or prohibit them from working in the industry. I'd say if you're in a dispensary, look at the people around. If you're nervous, if someone's lingering, just be aware of your surroundings. It's like any, like you said, it's like walking the streets nowadays. We're not as safe as we used to be because violence seems to be more prolific and, directed at innocent individuals, often. And in terms of security for business owners, for employees, as you said, states have very stringent requirements down to, how many pixels they must have on the resolution, cameras pretty much everywhere. In Colorado, you have to have a camera on each side of every door within a facility. And, you look at a moderately sized dispensary, you're probably looking at 30 or 40 cameras alone just for that for that space. In addition to security cameras, burglar alarms, and alarms, that people would carry fobs on them in case of emergency, they could click that and it would trigger the burglar alarm. Door locks, every part of a licensed facility have doors that lock and stay locked to keep it a controlled area. So the public or people that aren't authorized to be there, don't have access to cash, to, the bud tending area, to, the product storage. On the cultivation side, not allowing people to have access to your grow rooms, to your clone rooms. So really keeping a very tight control of who comes and who goes out of any one facility. You're also required to sign in when you visit any facility if you're there for business, i.e. not shopping at a store. And so you have to sign in and sign out as a record that you were there. You're also on camera to substantiate that. So there's quite a few very stringent security measures that if they are not met to a T, then the local municipality will not license that business until they have everything squared away. In looking at the whole industry and what it takes to run a business, to have a business, in my mind, security is paramount and one of the top two or three items that a business must focus on and have a good handle on, because it's a security issue, potentially life and death for their employees, for their customers themselves. And while it's not widely known or widely publicized, there have been other shootings. There was a death here of a security guard during a robbery of a dispensary, and another tragedy, with this gentleman. So there are security concerns, but overall, our regulations have done a very good job to either mitigate them or to help reduce the potential issues that may come up.
I mentioned at the beginning of our discussion here about the cash-only nature of the marijuana businesses, which owes to the federal government still maintaining prohibitions on banks working with people that deal with Schedule I substances. What's the status of that situation in Colorado? Have there been improvements? Has the state moved to make any adjustments to try to help people out, or are they still just loading sacks full of cash into armored cars back there?
Well, it's the latter. The state has done a little work, but not really gotten behind a lot of the banking issues that we have in Colorado. We had a credit union that was being established. They got state approval for their charter. The file is still sitting at the Federal Reserve for their final approval of the master banking number. That case went to, I believe, the appellate court, and based on the arguments, the appellate court denied the request to receive their account number. But it's still largely a cash business. Most businesses, I'd say, or quite a number of them, have banking relationships, whether they're known to the bank or not, of what they do. But you're still dealing with thousands of dollars in cash. Quite a few of our clients, the bigger operators, they have people that count cash all day because they're doing $500,000, $1 million in cash per day, amongst a dozen stores. So banking is still an issue. Cash is still a big issue. We've started seeing a few mainstream armored car companies get in the industry. Very limited. There have been a few security companies here and still are that provide for cash transit. But by and large, I'd say that, if you're going to the bank or if you're going to pay your taxes, you're probably going to show up with a bag of cash more likely than not.
Yeah, what a shame. Is there anything else going on security-wise that is a flaw in the system that you'd like to see Colorado or any of the other states address absent any move from the federal government? I mean, is there anything they can do and any other subjects or any other security risks that should be taken a look at that the states could address?
Not really that comes to mind, and I've given it quite a bit of thought. One of the societal benefits, if you will, to having the industry is that because it is such a highly, it's a high-value commodity, and then all the cash, what we found is that areas where facilities are located, let's say heavy industrial areas, that used to never have really any police presence, Now those areas are getting a higher incidence of drive-bys by police officers, which, you know, helps spread, you know, the public safety aspect of it. In terms of the overall security, I think that the plans and the regulations to where they've gotten in Colorado are very good. There are companies and groups, you know, in other parts of the country and Canada, they're using biometric scanners and a much more technological advanced security systems. However, those are unique applications and generally really aren't needed. It's kind of overkill in most cases. I'm sure there are other security measures that could, you know, be adapted or adopted. But overall, you know, the security programs are very tight. You know, they're one of the top, you know, issues or items that a licensing authority will look at. You know, what we need is access to banking, you know, to be able to have, you know, take cash into a bank and have them accept it, you know, with no questions asked or understanding where it comes from and being fine with it. But in the absence of that, it's still going to be, you know, very potentially risky business to be in.
As the mainstream digests this story about Cameron Smith's kidnapping and killing, I described it on my show and discussed how, you know, the fact that it was at a marijuana dispensary is kind of incidental. This could have been a liquor store or a convenience store or a bar or any place. This guy was just, as Trump would say, a bad hombre. So in your opinion, are dispensaries any safer or more risky than any other outlet, like a convenience store or a liquor store or a bar?
I would say that there is probably a perception that they are, and in reality, I would say yes, they are, but it's somewhat limited. You know, it's like going into a pawn shop, if you will. You know, there's items in there that have high value, that are somewhat untraceable, you know, jewelry, diamonds, gold. You know, it's just a high-value commodity that, you know, is different from a liquor store, is different from, you know, many other businesses, but you know, if you look at, liken it to banks, you know, banks are highly secured. They're, you know, everything's on tape. You know, they have alarms, you know, to summon anybody they need. But they have security measures and protocols in place, as the industry does. You know, it's just inherent, you know, to the fact that it's a largely cash business and largely untraceable high-value commodity. So, you know, one thing that we're seeing here that's just coming out in Colorado are actual distribution companies with offsite storage. And I think that'll help with the security measures in terms of groups that have bulk storage on site for, you know, lots of their product. They can have that, you know, essentially secured in an offsite location by others, which would provide an extra layer of security, you know, for the business owner himself or herself.
Jason Thomas is a former detention officer and deputy marshal in Denver, Colorado, and a speaker for Law Enforcement Action Partnership. If you'd like to get Jason or other speakers booked in your area, make sure you visit leap.cc or policeforreform.com. You can find out more information. Jason, thanks for joining us and giving us your expertise here on the security issue when it comes to our marijuana dispensaries. We really appreciate it.
Well, you're quite welcome, and thank you again for having me on. It's a great opportunity.